Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
We start tonight with breaking news. We are following two separate plane crashes, one deadly crash in Orange County and another in Warren County. Good evening and thanks for joining us tonight. I'm Julian Grace. Here is what we know. This map highlights where exactly the crash in Orange County happened, near Holly Ridge Road and Guest Road. WRAL's Destiny Patterson was at the scene earlier today and joins us live now from the Sheriff's Office in Hillsboro. And Destiny, what can you tell us?
Well, Julian, there's still a lot to be learned in this case. Of course, it's still very early, but we do know that it happened in a somewhat wooded area. We also know that the pilot was the only person on board and they have died. If you take a look at your screen, you can see video from Sky 5. They got a pretty clear vantage point of that wreckage, and you can see where that plane crashed just about 12:15 this afternoon. Like I said, it happened in an area that was pretty wooded right near a field, and you can see through the trees that there was a blue tarp that was over some of that wreckage. Emergency crews were also out there wearing reflective gear working that scene. The Federal Aviation Administration says that it was a single-engine Beechcraft 35, a very small plane. At this point, it's still not clear what caused that crash. It's not even clear where that airplane was traveling to or from at this point. The FAA and the National Transportation Safety Board are investigating, but we're told that NTSB will be in charge of providing updates. Now, the preliminary report will be available likely tomorrow, but it could be anywhere from 1 to 2 years before we get a final report. And in that final report, that's where we'll get more details about the cause or any contributing factors.
Well, many people will be eager to see that preliminary report. Destiny Patterson reporting live in Orange County for us tonight. Thank you. Now back to that breaking news in Warren County. Officials tell us one person was seriously hurt after a small plane crash. This is Sky 5 video over the scene off of Cedarwood Street. Investigators say the person who was hurt was badly burned. The FAA and the NTSB are investigating both crashes tonight. A Harnett County deputy indicted after a crash that killed a couple has a court appearance tomorrow. Both Jimmy White Jr. and Deputy Kevin Letard are charged with the death of Brian and Patricia Fitch. Investigators say Letard was chasing White when the deputy crashed into the couple. Letard is charged with involuntary manslaughter. White is facing felony aggravated flee and elude an arrest. White will also be in court on Monday. Durham's fourth quarter crime report is now out and shows reports of rape are up almost 39% in the first 3 months of 2023. And here's why. The chief says 40 of those rapes occurred in prior years and victims are just now coming forward. Damian Talley, the executive director of Durham Crisis Response Center, says it's critical that victims know they have support.
Making sure that people are aware of all the work that has to be done and all the resources that are available to them makes them more likely to come forward so that we can put those individuals perpetrating these acts where they need to be, but also make sure that they're aware that there's support for them wherever they need to be.
Tally also says the center is available for residents in Durham, the Triangle, and anyone else who needs their help. Two people died in a crash in Goldsboro overnight. It happened shortly before 2 a.m. Deputies tell us a pickup truck traveling south on U.S. 13 highway ran off the road before it hit a tree. Two people died in the accident. The victims' names have not yet been released. We're working to learn more about an officer-involved crash in Wayne County overnight. WRAL was on the scene as this truck was pulled from a ditch near NC Highway 55 and Club Country Road. We are told Mount Olive police officers were doing a license checkpoint when a juvenile pulled up without a license and then attempted to drive off. Officers chased the suspect before crashing in a field. We know that one officer was taken to the hospital with minor injuries, another with unknown injuries. Felony charges are expected for the suspect. We are still pushing to learn more details about the condition of both officers. We're still trying to learn more about a serious crash in Sampson County. We first reported as breaking news last night at 11. The accident involved an ATV. This happened in a field off of Harmony Church Road between Midway, between Clinton and Roseboro. We're trying to confirm the extent of the injuries and how this all happened. Well, time is ticking. 10 days are left before the U.S. government could default on its debts unless Congress and the White House can reach a deal on raising the debt ceiling. As Tina Kim reports, the House Speaker now plans to meet with the president tomorrow afternoon.
Hours after making gains abroad with world leaders, President Biden is facing setbacks at home with Republican lawmakers. In less than 2 weeks, June 1st, the nation is likely to default unless the debt ceiling is lifted, a date the Treasury Secretary reaffirmed Sunday. And as the deadline closes in, President Biden showed the two sides are farther apart.
Now it's time for the other side to move from their extreme positions because much of what they've already proposed is simply, quite frankly, unacceptable.
The president also gave this warning about Republicans.
I can't guarantee that they wouldn't force a default by doing something outrageous.
Republicans blame Biden for waiting too long to negotiate, and now they say changing positions, such as bringing back tax increases when the issue had been taken off the table, according to House Speaker Kevin McCarthy.
I mean, waiting those 97 days and now changing positions every day, that's not productive. I'm glad he's finally getting back into the country.
But the speaker sounded more optimistic after a call with the president as he flew back from Japan.
I believe it was a productive phone call.
The debt ceiling threat is casting a long shadow over the president's achievements at the G7 summit, helping Ukraine against the Russian invasion. Before returning to the U.S., he sat down with Volodymyr Zelensky. Ukraine's president thanked Biden for approving the training of his pilots on the F-16 fighter jet and for the U.S. granting another $375 million in military aid. Tina Kim, WRAL News.
Thousands of North Carolina kids struggle with reading, and experts say it's because a lot of them have bad habits. About 2 in 5 third graders aren't meeting state standards for reading. 3 of 5 fourth graders don't meet federal standards in reading. That's leading to changes in North Carolina classrooms. WRAL's Education Insider has been digging into this issue. For the full story and for tips on how parents can help their kids build reading skills, visit the education section of WRAL.com. Two teachers at the Capital Encore Academy of Fayetteville had planned to publish a children's book. Sadly, one of them, Mary Ward, died of COVID-19 before that could happen. However, others stepped in to finish what she started. Theater and film teacher Brian Klein partnered with Ward for a book called Sandy K Stars in a Play. When Ward died, Brian says he was devastated, but that was not the end of their project.
Hey. Felt like I had lost one of my best friends, but also a colleague. And her husband actually brought me the original manuscript of the book. And he made me keep a promise that I would finish the book.
Way to go. He kept that promise and finished the book. Klein picked Camilla Vasconcellos to complete the illustrations for it. And they both dedicated the book to Ward. The school also honors Ward in several ways with her pictures and artwork still displayed in her old classroom. Congratulations to everyone that is involved. Wow, that was so great. After another loss in overtime, the Hurricanes are heading south to Florida for Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Final. And WRAL sports team is following the team there for Games 3 and 4. WRAL's Casey Hintz and Pat Welter will begin live reports previewing Game 3 tomorrow ahead of the puck drop. Then stick around after the game for our exclusive post-game coverage. We'll tell you everything you need to know about the game, and you will have exclusive interviews right there at your fingertips as well. Well, there's still time to head on over to Got to Be NC Festival at the North Carolina Fairgrounds. What are you waiting for? Get on over there right now. The festival is all about showcasing our state's agricultural and business industry. It features a huge number of family-friendly activities, including games, demonstrations, food, musical performances, and more. Did I mention food? Yes, look at that. That's why I want to go. Well, as you can see, Got to Be NC was a huge hit for visitors of all ages. The festival continues until 8 o'clock tonight. 2 years after an accident, a young boy is turning tragedy into triumph. Coming up, we will tell you Wyatt's story and the event held today to help others. And NASCAR continues today at North Wilkesboro. Find out later what's all happening right there and the fun. WRAL's Brett Neese will have a live report from the revitalized track of today's All-Star race. Amy.
Turned out to be a pretty nice day. This is a live look at the WRAL Gardens and the Century Plant here. We just had a wedding in the gardens. beautiful weather. I'll show you how long this sticks around, and we'll need to take a check on the tropics. I'll have details on that coming up.
Welcome back. I can't wait for you to hear about this next story. A Wake County family experienced the unimaginable. This little boy is named Wyatt. That's Wyatt right there. He was in a lawnmower accident and lost his leg. Well, on the anniversary, 2 years later, his family is turning tragedy into triumph as WRAL's Laura Levine was at a fundraising event in Apex as they worked to help others.
7-year-old Wyatt Fleming is everything you'd expect a little boy to be. Happy, active, curious, and full of energy.
What are some of the things that you like to do for fun?
I like to ride my bike.
It was just 2 years ago this month when this almost didn't seem possible. Tragedy struck when Wyatt was playing in the yard and had a run-in with a lawnmower.
You know, it was one of those freak accidents.
His mom, Megan Standish Fleming, tells me when her husband called 911, the ambulance available for dispatch was coming from North Wake County, taking about 20 minutes.
Fairview Fire heard the call and said, you know, this does not sound good. I think we might need to roll out to that. And they showed up at our house within 5 minutes. 5 minutes. And if they had not shown up, Wyatt would have died.
Ever since then, they have wanted to find ways like this to thank Wyatt's warriors who helped Wyatt then and now.
That's where I get my prosthetics. Look at this one.
It's pretty cool.
This one's my third leg.
That's your third one?
Yep. It got soaked yesterday.
As he learns how to live life a little differently.
I'm just happy to get out here and get to see other people just like me.
North Carolina Adapted Sports showed Wyatt what is possible for him. And today, dozens of people came out to the Middle Creek Community Center who had a big role in helping him. From martial arts like karate, and he even rock climbs.
He stopped saying, I can't do anything, I can't do anything, and started saying, I can do stuff.
She tells me Wyatt would get PTSD leading up to this anniversary, but they're now using this time as an opportunity to help others learn more about resources out there for kids like Wyatt. And in turn, it's helping them heal.
You can do these things you want to do. You know, it might be rough today, but, you know, you can overcome this odd.
This is for everybody who's been helping me out.
Laura Levine, WREO News, Apex.
Oh, do you see what Wyatt is doing? He is encouraging so many. Way to go, Wyatt. We are rooting for you. A celebration of Asian American and Pacific Islander heritage is underway right now in Durham. Ah, listen to those sounds. The festival is happening in Durham Central Park, and it's free for everyone. This year's theme is Common Roots. People from all over the Triangle enjoyed everything the festival had to offer, from food trucks to music and jewelry.
We're very pleased with it. There's a lot of different cultures represented, a lot of art, a lot of music and food, and it's been really fun.
I enjoyed the henna, the dancing, the boba,
Okay, I'm looking at the clock. You still have time to get out there. Everything wraps up at 8 o'clock tonight, so get out there, enjoy the displays of art and activity, and of course, the food. Get on out there. Amy went out to church this morning. It was raining, and then this afternoon, we have this. Beautiful skies.
Which is good, because that's what we said would happen.
Yes, so, you did say it. You called it.
Yeah, we were able to get the second half of the day. It was beautiful outside for all the outdoor things. We did have some rain this morning, but check out the sun in Clinton now. It's sunny in Durham as well. This is a live look at Chapel Hill. We have mostly sunny skies. Our exposure just wrapping up in downtown Raleigh. Gorgeous weather for that the second half of the day. And really late this morning, the rain started to move out. With visible satellite, you can clearly see that the sun started to come out this afternoon. Still hanging on to some clouds down here in Cumberland County. Fayetteville, still some clouds over you right now, but overall it's a very beautiful evening out there. It's 72 in Roxborough, 76 in Raleigh and Durham, 74 in Fayetteville, 73 right now in Goldsboro. And the dew point is dropping. Some dry air is moving in. Dew points are in the low to mid 50s to the north, mid 50s in the triangle, low 60s still down to the south. So a little bit more muggy down here, but really overall it feels pretty comfortable. If you want to maybe eat out outside this evening. It's a great night to do that. Low 70s through about 6 o'clock. Then we'll be in the upper 60s at 7, mid 60s by 8, and low 60s at 9 o'clock tonight. And it will be comfortably cool overnight. Tonight, temperatures will fall in the low to mid 50s. So it will feel good stepping outside tomorrow morning. Maybe you want to do some exercise before work outside in the morning. It'll be comfortable to do that with temperatures in the 50s and 60s. It does get warm tomorrow afternoon. Highs will be in the low 80s, which is right on track for normal this time of year, but the dew point will stay low, and so it will still feel pretty good outside. High pressure settles in, and high pressure systems bring quiet weather, generally speaking, to the area, and we'll have that for the next several days. Winds flow clockwise around high pressure systems, so that's going to drive in a northerly flow. That's one of the reasons that we have the dry air with us for the next several days. The humidity stays low with dew points down into the 50s through Thursday, and we'll have some comfortable mornings for the next several days. Our normal is 59. We'll be below that for the next 5 days with morning lows in the low to mid 50s. Afternoon highs will be warm, but pretty close to normal. Our normal 81 will be in the upper 70s and low 80s for the next several days. A brief cool down, a brief drop on Friday with a high temperature of 75. And staying dry for the next several days, maybe a couple of showers as we edge closer to the long holiday weekend. This is the first time I'm having to show this season, but we do have a tropical outlook, a system that's north of the Bahamas. It only has a 10% chance for development. Not worried about this, but I did want to mention it because it's that time of year we have to start watching the tropics pretty carefully. Stays pretty quiet for the next several days. I am watching for the potential for some scattered showers, perhaps over the holiday weekend, Julian.
All right. Thank you, Amy. Lewis, last night's loss was tough, but I keep telling myself we have 7-game series for a reason.
That's why they play the game. Exactly. And the Canes are inches away from being up 2-0 in the Eastern Conference final, but instead they're down 0-2 heading to Florida. Coming up in sports, why head coach Rod Brind'Amour says the tight margins are exactly why the Canes need to stay the course. It's cliche to say the playoffs are a game of inches, but they're called cliches for a reason. They tend to be right. While the Canes are down 0-2 to the Panthers, head coach Rod Brind'Amour says the script could easily be flipped. While the goals haven't come easily, he says he doesn't plan on making changes to the lines. The opportunities are there. It's just time to find the back of the net.
I mean, again, if you're not getting chances, you have to tweak things. You really got to, you know, if you're getting zero opportunities, then things aren't working. But, you know, their goalie's been great, and you got to give them all the credit in the world. And, you know, you don't just change, like I said, to change things. If we're not getting opportunities, I have to look at everything. But I kind of like some of the things that we've done. And do we change the lines? You know, maybe, but I don't know if that's going to do anything, create more chances, if you follow me.
Now is where the Canes have to be very careful. History is not kind to teams that go down 3-0. Just 4 teams in NHL history have come back to win a series after trailing 3-0, most recently the LA Kings in 2014. Now, what's interesting about the Panthers, they're much better on the road than at home. In the postseason, they are just 2-3 in Sunrise compared to 6-1 on the road. Casey Hintz and Pat Welton will be live in Florida for games 3 and 4 starting tomorrow morning. Then after the game, turn to us for post-game coverage during our late news. At 11:25, we'll have the exclusive post-game show. You'll hear from fans, players, and of course, Coach Rod Brind'Amour. That's tough to put all together right there. We are less than 2 hours away from NASCAR's official return to North Wilkesboro Speedway. The All-Star Race is tonight. WRL's Brett Neese is there for us with what's shaping up to be a great day for racing.
There are fans everywhere here at North Wilkesboro, and they are fired up for racing NASCAR back for the first time in 27 years. For those that were here when Jeff Gordon won that final NASCAR race at North Wilkesboro back in 1996, well, things look a little different.
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, it's a beautiful track. It's going to be a beautiful day.
Never would think it would look this way.
Race day starts early. Fans are up and at it this morning for a full day of fun, celebrating one of their favorite sports.
Just the atmosphere. It's like a big family atmosphere out here.
On the infield, fans got an up-close look at race cars throughout the years, and thousands of fans will pack the new revitalized stands that surround a track that stretches out to just over half a mile.
Last time I was here was 1996, so it's kind of like a dream come true.
I hope it stays. I hope it's a sellout and everybody enjoys it and they come back.
And of course, the biggest names in racing are here. I saw Jeff Gordon along with Richard Childress and, of course, Joe Gibbs. But Lewis, as Darrell Waltrip would say, boogity, boogity, boogity. Let's go racing, boys.
That's the kind of energy I'm talking about, Brett. To the diamond we go. Duke softball hosting Charlotte in the final day of the Durham Regional needs one win to get to Supers. Trailing 2-1 in the top of seventh, Kelsey Zampa squeaks it by the pitcher. Jada Baker scores, and we are all tied up. Now, check out this play coming up here later in the seventh. Zampa, who you saw get the second, appears to be tagged out trying to score the go-ahead run, but they review it, and it's ruled as obstruction against Charlotte, so the Blue Devils take the lead. Duke adds an insurance run. Final is 4-2. And for the first time in school history, Duke will host a Super Regional. It'll either be number 9 Stanford or Florida next week. And the ACC baseball tournament is set up and ready, happening at Durham Bulls Athletic Park this week on Tuesday. UNC plays Georgia Tech at 3 p.m. And right after that, NC State will play Duke. It'll be a fun time, Julian.
Yeah, fun time. Let's go back to last night, though. I sense, Lewis, you are holding out hope that we will win tomorrow.
Well, when the games are as tight as they have been, Julian, like, it's literally, I'm not messing around. It's literally just a couple inches. That's all it is.
Yeah, and, you know, Coach Brendan Moore, he seemed so calm and cool before the game. I'm sure that may have changed a little bit after the game, but he's been in these situations before, and I know it helps.
Yeah, that's why they pay him the big bucks, Julian. They'll have something in mind for game 3.
All right,
sure.
Let's go Canes. Thank you. And thank you for joining us. Next on NBC Nightly News, the Marine veteran making a difference. Next.